Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 81. Mystery of Unknown Tongues, the Earnest Down Payment. Scripture. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 15, the New King James Version. End Scripture. Two visions. First vision. I beheld the catching up of the man-child, the overcomers, hidden in the earth, and birthed forth, and caught up from before the mouth of the dragon. As they came up into the heavenly realm, I saw Jesus seated at the right hand of God, wearing the garments which were in the fashion of a priest, and which were also in the fashion of one who was eternally exalted by God to this place of authority. Before the throne where God did sit with Christ at his right hand was a paved work, and over the paved work were the bands of the bow of colors, a rainbow round about the throne. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Revelation 4:3. As I saw this man-child overcoming company approach the throne, they did pass through the bands of color. They were all of them dressed in the very same garments as was Jesus. Their loins were covered with a golden girdle, each one of them. Their feet were like fiery brass, each one of them. They had taken on the cloth garments of Christ, each one of them. So then, this great company of the offscouring of the earth did pass over the paved work through the bands of color of the bow, and they did approach the throne. Passing through each color, they then ascended at the bequest of God to come and to sit with Christ upon the throne forevermore. Bequested by God, they became owners of heavenly property. God himself made this bequest of they who had been made overcomers by his great grace. So then these did come, and they sat with Christ at the right hand of God, upon the eternal throne. I saw their tongues filled with the language of heaven, and which now had effect. Long had the earth lain in waiting for the manifest promise of God to bring all creation into the liberty of the sons of God. Their tongues did bring forth that liberty as a living word by the power of the newness of life that flowed out of their mouths. There was no restriction at all in the power of their heavenly language, which brought power to the earth and into the world of men. Neither was there any more any tempest or storm in the atmosphere of the earth, for the wrath of God had been abated once these had taken their place upon the throne with Christ. Identical were they all in both facial features and in garments and honor with Jesus at the right hand of God. The world before them entered a great peace, just as it had at one time under Enoch and under Solomon. So now the world entered great peace in the age of the rule of these over all the nations of men in the everlasting kingdom of God. End first vision. Second vision. I beheld in this vision the midst of the pasture lands which surrounded the heights of Mount Zion in the midst of the kingdom of God. On the top of Mount Zion is set the throne room, upon which the Lord does sit and reign over all creation. I saw members of the man-child company, the overcomers, come towards the throne room. Each one was dressed in garments that were identical to the garments I could see upon the Lord, who was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I noticed that as the man-child company approached the throne room to enter into it, that they were weeping with great joy, bearing the sheaves of many types of grains with them. These grains were the souls whom they had touched while they traversed the earth, the peoples of the world, the religious ones, those of Christendom, and those who did not hold the truth in righteousness, these who had been other than the man-child company had rejected and cast off, the true ones, despising them and hating their doctrine. But the overcomers had interceded for them and had influenced the lives of these wayward people with their prayers and their acts of forgiveness, just as Jesus had forgiven those who had impaled his hands and feet upon the cross. So the members of the man-child company, the overcomers, had forgiven all these in the world who had at one time persecuted them. Now these people were seen in this vision as sheaves of grain being brought up before the Lord, with tears of joy upon the faces of they who were granted now the right to sit and to rule and reign forever with the King upon the eternal throne. These of the man-child company were no different to look upon than to look upon the Lord. They were dressed the same as the Lord. They had on the same anointing. The same holy nature was their character, and these had borne to the throne all the souls of they that had not learned the true way of God. So then the intercession continued by this act of bearing sheaves. Their tongues spoke a new heavenly language that was not defiled by the languages of the earth. Their tongues not only worshipped God, but spoke in such a manner as to minister to God the things pertaining to God, and at the same time to intercede for these whom they were once rejected by. Just as Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father, the great high priest, ever living to make intercession for us, these now were the same. They did not lose anything in the area of being identified with Christ by their lives and tribulations which they had once suffered in the world of men. End second vision and visions. It is not my purpose to lay down doctrine or to express faults in others' doctrines concerning speaking in tongues. The entire purpose in my heart for sharing concerning speaking in other tongues is to prophesy of that which is to come, not express that which we have already had. My purpose is to lay out from my heart to yours what the Lord has made real to me over the years of my life concerning the language and purity that he will turn to the earth, a pure language with no defilement in it, unlike the earthly languages in existence now. For the languages of the earth are unable to express truthfully the praise worthy of the Lord, unless that language is replaced with the heavenly text through tongues purified. It is by this that the glorified body is understood and manifest. However, it is impossible for me to expose the heart of this matter from the Lord without first showing scriptures that relate to speaking in tongues and the purpose of the Lord in introduction of this to his church in the book of Acts. I dare say that the gift has been mistaken for more things and misused for more things than any other gifting of God. Many have spoken in tongues for years and yet have not drawn closer to the Lord because of it. Many have never had the experience, yet they love the Lord with all their hearts, yet they have never had the speaking in tongues come through their lives. There has been much tongue speaking that was not even of the Holy Ghost. There is an imbalance here in this gift, which must be addressed scripturally in order for the truth I see to manifest in these writings. At this time, the ending of this age, we have false measures of imitation rampant in the world of Christendom. We have not only a false Jesus, but a false Holy Spirit, a false Heavenly Father, a false anointing, false gifts, false fruits, imitations of truth and revelations and new doctrines introduced that are completely false from the start. All these imitate the true. The Lord has reduced humanity down to this, so that there is but only a few who have been shaken out of the world of men and who are filled with the true measure of the Lord in respect to all these just mentioned. A people with a true anointing, truth in all the inward parts, who know the true Father and Christ, and who know when fruit is real or lasting. Their fruit and gifts they use to minister unto God, not so much unto others. So then, in this first writing on the mystery of unknown tongues, I want to make it clear that I see this gift, along with all the other giftings of the Lord grants to his church, as only being very temporary. They serve no greater purpose but to point us to an end, to a place where we will one day come when perfection will overrule gifting and holiness will take over anything that was less. May I say first that if you're reading this paper and have never had this experience, that I care not. Some have said that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is proven by speaking in tongues. I cannot agree. The evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is the knowledge by God that you belong to him. The evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit, as it was on Pentecost, and the Spirit giving utterance, is not important any longer in this hour. We have turned a corner in God's timetable. The things he once moved in, he moves in no longer in the lives of they that have gone on to perfection. I dare say that the Lord is not moving in denominational circles, nor in the assemblies of men, other than to perfect those who will be of this man-child company, those whom he is going to give his new language, to who will also be caught up to reign with him upon the eternal throne. That group, misdiagnosed as being false by the Christian community, cast off, forsaken, set aside, seen as sunk into ditches, that group is the group to which the Lord will bring the promised first fruit manifestation first. Those are the ones to whom this paper is addressed. One thing I have never liked has been the judgment of Christians against those who never had the experience of speaking in other tongues. Yet that person who never had that experience is in every case full of faith. They enjoy their faith and the Lord and trust Him implicitly with their lives and the lives of their families. They know that God loves them, and they know that they belong to Him. They just never had the experience. And I also have never liked those who speak in tongues so much that it becomes a vain show, an expression of who they think they are, as though much tongue speaking will give them greater power with God. The past history of the church has seen tongue speaking in such a major imbalance that the pure gift God had granted to His church by it was lost in the shuffle of soulish ambitions or judgmental theologies. So my motive is not to promote tongue speaking as a means by which the Lord is bringing in the new age of His kingdom. My motive is to show you that it was but an earnest of that which is yet to come, a down payment of that which we have ownership. Now He who establishes us with you is Christ, and has anointed us is God, who also sealed us and given us the Spirit of our in our hearts as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22, New King James Version. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Romans 8, 15-17, New King James Version. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, New King James Version. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2:19, New King James Version. After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth and the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Revelation 7, 1-3, New King James Version. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. Revelation 9, 4, New King James Version. Yes, tongues and the gifting of the Lord in times past was to encourage the church. But a greater thing is coming in front of us, a pure language with no defilements of duality or carnal religious ambition, an upcoming day of release from all and any bondages that came by efforts of any kind. The gifts, tongues, manifest identities of our lives with the Lord's life will now give sway to an even greater manifestation of His life in a company who will literally be transformed in body into a deathless state, free of any mortality or corruption. Zephaniah 3, 8 and 9, New King James Version says, Therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they may all call in the name of the Lord, to serve Him with one accord. Zephaniah 3, verses 8 and 9, New King James Version. This verse denotes that the restoration of a pure language will be to all peoples, a language that the earth has not known. I dare say that this first will come to the man-child company, that they first, caught up out of the earth, will speak this new language. Tongues, in times past, was but a down payment, an earnest expectation of something greater. The overcomer will pave the way that this will happen in the world of men. The main reason for the gifting and speaking in other tongues was to minister unto God, not unto men. Although men heard the disciples speak fluently in their languages on the day of Pentecost, the main reason for tongues was that the Lord was jealous over his inheritance, and by tongues we did minister unto him in the Holy of Holies. It was by this that the Lord would turn up the heat of his holy fire and consume the dross off our lives. I say now in prophecy that this burning up of the dross, this consuming of it from the defilement that came in our spiritual man, has come to full heat. The consuming of it on the spiritual man has come to full heat. The time for this action of the Lord's Spirit is complete in his eyes. We still see our carnality, but God sees the man of the heart, which is born after his nature, as being perfect in holiness. That new creation in us, that is what God sees as complete. So these whom the Lord sees as complete have become first fruits of the new holy order, of they that will have turned to them a new everlasting tongue, in which a new pure language will flow. Some of these experience the down payment of the future promise of a pure language. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now they are members of the Lord's church who are first fruits, first ones, after the risen Lord, in the promise of his fullness and in the removal forever of their carnal condition, Adam's curse. Genesis 3:17-19 says, "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." The removal of that curse. In Scripture, Romans 8:18-23, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3:19-21. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:6-9. At this time, the gifting of tongues has waned from my life. It is not as it once was in my early years. It waned away from me for the express reason of giving me hope for the full measure of the true heavenly language, that pure language to come to me. I believe that this language that is to come is a language that all the nations of the earth will understand. They will long for the things of the Lord in the kingdom of God because of it. As the overcomers are caught up to rule and reign with the Lord, they will be able to convey to the peoples of the earth the will of God by this new language, which all they on earth will fully comprehend. And then they too will be given this new language by the Lord. Yes, the systems of men will disintegrate. The ways of man will be no more as pertains to the ways of the world, but the earth will remain. It will not be destroyed by some gravitational mishap, nor will the earth be removed. It will remain for the kingdom of God, which will have in it a language which will be pure, with no confusion and with no discord, and all the nations of the earth will walk in the light of those glorious words. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.